Bibles, I want you to turn to Genesis 1. And no, I'm not going to start in Genesis 1 and go to Revelation, but we are going to start in Genesis 1. Starting with verse 3. You can follow along with me, or you can just listen, because we're going to go pretty fast through this. Verse 3 says, "And God said, and there was light." Verse 6, "And God said, and there was the heaven and the earth." Verse 9, "And God said, and there was dry land." Verse 11, "And God said, and there was grass and trees." Verse 14, "And God said, and there was sun and the moon." Verse 20, "And God said, and there was fish and birds." Verse 22, "And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply." Verse 24, "And God said, and there was animals." Verse 26, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over all the earth." Verse 27, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." Do you get the message today? That everything that God did, everything that God created, he did with the words of his mouth. He spoke things into existence. But the thing I want you to see today is that we were made in the image of God. We were made in the image of God after his likeness. So what does that mean about our words? Our words are creative. They are just like God because we are made in his image. And when we speak, we literally can create things out in that are not as though they were. We can call things unto us as, you know, that are not as though they were. That's what the word says to us. Well, if I were to title this message today, it would be, "What did you say?" Or for the younger generation, it would be, "Say what?" You know, since I've gotten older and lost a little bit of my hearing, when I'm watching TV, half of it is because I'm really not listening, and the other part is I really can't hear it. But I'm always saying to my husband, "What did they say? What was that? Say what?" I'm always doing that because I either am not listening or I can't hear. And you know, it's so important for us to be able to hear so that we can speak the word. We see in the first chapter of Genesis that God created everything with the words of his mouth. Then he created man in his image. That means he gave us the same creative ability with the words of our mouth. Now, this is not a name it, claim it, blab it, grab it message, okay? And we've heard that in the faith movement, you know, you name it, you claim it, you blab it, you grab it. You just, you know, if you say it long enough, I have a Cadillac, and you go out and there's a Cadillac. Now, I'll tell you what, Miss Linda this morning, this lady, she's been on the mission field, and she is a lady of miracles. Every time you turn around, Linda's calling me and say, "Oh, guess what God did for me today?" And there's always a miracle that God is giving her. And I'll tell you what, it's because of the confession of her mouth and the claiming it and naming it. And when she needed that money, it was because she had a need and God met that need. But this is not a message of just, you know, "Oh, I want. You know, it's not that God is a Santa Claus and you just, you know, if you have something that you want but it's not a need, you can't just go sit on his lap and say, "You know, I want this and I want a red top and I'm going to, you know, pout if I don't get it." Well, that's not the way it works. But we're going to stay with me for a little while and I will show you some truths in the Word about the power of the words that we speak. I was sitting in the dentist chair when I went up to Ohio this a couple weeks ago. And I told the hygienist there, I told her, because I had the dentist first, and he worked on my mouth. And then I went to the hygienist chair, and she cleaned my teeth. And I told her, I said, I was so afraid that my tongue was, half my tongue was numb. And I told her, I said, I was so afraid my tongue would do some involuntary movement and get in the way of the drill. And I'd really be in trouble. And I said, I was so afraid of that. And she says, yep. She says, you know, the tongue is the most powerful, the strongest muscle in the body. I thought about that. I had already got this message from the Lord. I knew what the Lord was going to have me speak about today. And I thought about that, and that stuck with me. And I know some of you might say it's because it gets the most exercise, because we're always talking. Or you might say, well, it's the one that gets the most exercise of all the other muscles in the body. But no, it is the strongest muscle in the body. And it's not because it gets the most exercise, even though it probably does. But, you know, it's an important member of our body. Well, the Bible is very specific about the tongue. James 3:3 says, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body with a small little steel bit that we put in the horses' mouth. We are able to tame that horse. We're able to get it to move in the direction that we want it to move. We can control that huge animal, the whole body of that huge animal, just by a bit being in its mouth. James 3:8-10 says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. The one I want you to see is in Proverbs 18:21. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Let me read that again. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit. Say what? Yeah. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. I can create with my words blessing or cursing, life or death. Are we made in God's image? Did he create with the words of his mouth? We are made in God's image. Therefore, we can create with the words of our mouth. John 6:63, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. How many of you as a child or as an adult, someone has said something to you that you have never forgotten, whether it's good or bad? It happens to all of us. Somebody says something, or somebody does something to us, and it sticks with us. We don't forget it. You know, maybe somebody makes a rude remark to us, or somebody makes fun of us, or we get bullied. It's something that we don't forget. We never forget that. That's why it's so important that we guard the words of our mouth, especially when we're talking to a child, or we're correcting a child, or even when we're talking to each other. It seems like the bad things especially stick with you. The words literally pierce your spirit. Sometimes even create or form the way you begin to feel about yourself. Those words sometimes change the way that you feel about yourself. We have all heard the statements, you're just like your mother. And the way it's said, with the tone that it's said, you know it's not a good thing. You're just like your mother, or you're just like your dad, just like so-and-so, and on and on. Sometimes generational curses are literally created by the words being spoken from the person or generation to the next. Well, this is just a part of our family. No, it does not have to be. It does not have to be that way. Now, this part of the message is kind of sounds kind of negative, but just hang on there. We're going to get to some positive here in a minute. What about the words that are spoken about you and not just to you? Do they have any power? Amen. Yes, they do. Things like, he's about the laziest person I've ever seen. They'll never amount to anything. They'll stay poor and in poverty the rest of their lives. She'll never get a good job. He got a bad doctor's report and he'll probably die just like his dad. Or what about this one? My head is killing me. How many have ever said that? Oh yeah, we probably all have when we have a bad headache. My head is killing me. Remember, your words are creative. Do you really think it means nothing to say whatever about whoever? We have been made in His image with creative ability in our mouth. There is life and death in the power of the tongue. When we speak words about our husband or about our wife, you know that it literally, because God has made us one, you are literally devouring yourself. You're literally eating yourself alive because you are one and you speak negative things about your husband or your wife. And that means that you are literally creating those things. That you're devouring yourself because the words are creative. What about a job? Oh, I hate this job. Every time you get up and go to work in the morning, oh, I hate this job. I just can't stand my boss. Or, you know, you're literally cursing the blessing that God gave you. God gave you this job, and sometimes it's not, you know, it's not fun. It's not a good, you know, when you go to work, sometimes it's not a good day. But, you know, it's the blessing of God. And I learned early on when I was working at the college, you know, and things would happen. And my boss would say things to me. And my first boss was great. My second boss was not so great. And she had a little bit of a problem with a little bit of jealousy. So, you know, she thought that, you know, she would say things to me, or she would do things to me, and it was going to affect my attitude. But you know what I did, Diana? I went to my desk, and I just started working, and I just began to pray, God, help me keep my heart right. I got to keep my heart right, because if I don't keep my heart right, everything changes. My heart belongs to you, and I've got to guard my heart. And so when those things would happen, I would go back to my desk and I would just sit there and I'd say, God, keep my heart right. Help me, Lord, to keep my heart right. Help me not to get into unforgiveness. Help me not to get into bitterness about this thing. But, Lord, I'm going to keep my heart right because that's the most important thing. This job can come, this job can go, but I got to keep my heart right. And you know what? By the time I left there, it was literally the hand of God. God. And I didn't wish anything evil on her because we could have been good friends. We were just really compatible. But she didn't see that. But you know what? When I left there, God had literally taken me and promoted me to working in the presidential suite. And God had promoted my position to a place where I would have never thought possible. In fact, I told the vice president of the college, I don't really think I want this job. I think I want to stay where I'm at and keep doing payroll. Because I know payroll. I don't have to think about doing payroll. I can just do payroll off the top of my head with my eyes closed. He says, no, I think you need to stretch a little bit. And I want you to move up a little bit to this HR position and start grading positions and start, you know, dealing with the legal issues and the compliance issues of the college. And I'm thinking, I can't do that. But you know what? I went home and I said to Pastor Mark, I said, you know, I said, honey, I said, I don't think I can do this job. And he says, Maybe God wants you to stretch a little bit. You're too comfortable where you're at. So I said, yes, okay, I will do this. And God just blessed me. And when we moved out here, God was literally preparing me for the move down here. Because if I had stayed a payroll clerk, I would not have been able to bring the job that I had down here as easily. And so they kept me on for a whole year after I moved to North Carolina. And even gave me a raise. When I moved to North Carolina and I was sitting at my desk in my office in my house on Mayview Avenue doing the work up in Fremont, Ohio, that it was amazing. Yes, give the Lord a big hand clap. But you know, it's because I kept praying, God, help me keep my heart right. And the Lord just began to promote me and promote me and promote me. And God gave me favor. And that's why it's so important with the words of our mouth, what we say out of our mouth. Don't curse your job. Because this might be the door to the next open door in your life that God can just bless you abundantly. So don't curse what God has given you. Don't curse the blessing. It's the same way with the body of Christ. We don't want to eat our own flesh. It's the same way with the body of Christ. He wants, when we speak negative or when we gossip or when we talk about each other negatively, it's literally because we're brothers and sisters. We're one body, but many members. We literally devour ourselves when we do that. Words are spirit. They go into the atmosphere. Have you ever been just sitting, maybe eating or watching television or something, and all of a sudden you just feel this yucky feeling, like something's wrong? Like, what is that? You know, why do I feel this way? Just all of a sudden, I feel everything was fine, and now all of a sudden, I feel like something is wrong. Something bad is going to happen, or something is going on. You know, what do you do when you feel that way? What is that? A lot of times, it's the Holy Spirit speaking to us. And Ephesians 6:12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and powers of the air. And who rules there? Satan rules there. He's the one. And our words are spirit and life. Now, I want you to picture this. Our words, when they come out of our mouth, they go into the heavenlies. They go into the principalities of the air. What can happen is that if I talk about Miss Mary sitting over here, and I say something bad about her, I can't think of anything off the top of my head. Sorry about that, Mary. But if I say something bad about her, like something like, she shouldn't be sitting back there. She should be up on this platform singing. She's got a great voice and you know. Okay? So what happens is, and I'm talking to somebody, and we get to talking about it, maybe she just doesn't want to come early or something. And so the enemy, I want you to picture this. I got your attention now. The enemy takes those words. He can literally, because they're spirit and life. Our words are spirit and life. He can literally take those words. And he takes those words to Mary. Drops them in her mind. And she begins to feel, man, I'm just not doing enough. I don't even know why I keep trying. I just don't feel like, you know, maybe I need to find another church. I just don't feel like I'm doing enough, or I'm doing what God's called me to do. I'm just a big old failure. The enemy literally takes the words of our mouth. And you know what? I've experienced this so many times. I've experienced this so many times where, and I will just begin to pray, God, reveal this to me. What is going on? What is this feeling that I have? And nine chances out of ten, somebody will come to me and say, you know, somebody was saying something
the other day. It doesn't even have to be, you know, about me. It might be just about the church, because we're, you know, the leaders of the church. And, you know, and so, you know, the enemy literally takes those words and he begins to buffet me with them. He begins to fight my thoughts, and he begins to say things that, you know, in my mind that begin to discourage me and put me down and just make me feel yucky. Has anybody experienced that other than me? Yeah, we do. Now we know why. It's because the words of our mouth are spirit and life. They go into the air, and the ruler of the air takes those words, and he will carry them, because he is the accuser of the brethren. And he will take those words to that person, and he'll begin to accuse that person and make them feel like, you know, they're nothing, like, you know, they're discouraged. And why would we do that once we have the knowledge of how important our words are? Our tongue is like a sharp knife, yet you can't see it. It's not tangible. The enemy of your soul is out to steal, to kill, and destroy us. He is out to do one thing, and that is to keep us from fulfilling the destiny of God that he has for our life. And that's why he works like he does. Well, you know, when that happens to me and I hear about things like that, let me give you a little story. When we moved to Fremont after pastoring a church in Kentucky, we moved to Fremont and our lives looked pretty bleak, but my husband had to go to the doctor and found out he had bladder cancer. The doctor went in, did surgery, and found out he had bladder cancer, and this doctor who was... his bedside manner was, you know, just very blunt. Well, this is the way it is, and this is what I found, and, you know, this is what's going to happen to him, and this is the way he's going to live the rest of his life. My husband was back in the recovery room. We didn't think it was a big deal, you know. It was just a minor thing, so I was by myself. I didn't have anybody with me. And you don't want to hear that kind of news when you're by yourself, you know. And so... he said, yeah, I took some cancer out of him, and bladder cancer, and this is what's going to happen, and this is the way he's going to live the rest of his life, and just all kinds of really, really bad stuff. I mean, doom and gloom. You talk about, you know, being in the ministry, and all of a sudden, you know, all right, this is not going to happen anymore. But anyhow, there was a bath. I was sitting in the waiting room, talked to the doctor right there. There was a bathroom right there in the waiting room. And I don't know who heard me. I really don't care who heard me, but I went, he wasn't even out of the waiting room, and I went in the bathroom. And I just began to, I looked right in the mirror. This is what you do when you have a negative report, okay? I looked in the mirror, and I said, Satan, I said, you are not going to have my husband. I said, I renounce every word that doctor spoke over him. I renounce it, and I command every negative word to fall powerless to the ground. That it will have no effect. It will not take life. It will not take root in his body. Because he belongs to you, and we have a ministry to do on this earth. And if that happens, that's not gonna be fulfilled. And I renounce it right now in the name of Jesus. And I command those words to fall powerless to the ground. And I was just standing there in the mirror, just praying and preaching to myself. And I said, this is not going to happen. Well, I'll tell you what. We got out of the hospital that day. Of course it was, you know, you hear the word cancer and you just, you know, it buffets your mind. That's all you can hear. That's all you can see. That's all you can think about. But we just began to declare the word. And so he kept going. He went back for like two times for treatments. And he came home and he says, Karen, he says, I feel like these treatments are destroying good cells and not the bad cells. He said, I feel like it's destroying my body. Destroying my bladder. And You know, if that happens, then I'm going to have a, you know, a bladder replacement or whatever they call it. He said, I'm not going to do this anymore. And I said, honey, I agree with you. I don't think you should either. If that's what you feel, then I don't think you should either. But you know what? When you hear a negative report like that, you cannot give into it. You cannot say, oh, no, you know, I'm probably going to die in the next 6 months. You cannot say that, because the Word declares to us that we have the power. We are created in His image. Now, I told you about all the bad stuff. Now let me tell you about the good stuff. Well, in Matthew 18:18, it says, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I loosed the power of healing that day because I would not accept the words that that doctor gave us. And I bound the enemy from doing any more work in his body. And you know what? He went back for 5-7 years just to make sure that it didn't come back. And he was cancer-free every single time. Amen. That is God. Well, Jesus time and time again asked the question to the sick that came to him, what do you want me to do? Even though it was obvious, you know, okay, this man's blind. Why are you asking him what he wants you to do? You already know. You can see that he's blind. But you know what? Even though it was obvious to Jesus what they were in need of, and he already knows our needs before we ask him, he made them say it out of their mouth. Blind Bartimaeus, that I might see. The crippled, that I could walk. The woman with the issue of blood, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. The man at the pool, someone to put me in the water so that I can be healed. Words are like planting a seed. Now I'm going to tell you another story. We had this beautiful white dog. His name was Sugar. Well, when Sugar came to us, that's a long story, but he was supposed to be a girl. He was supposed to be small. He was supposed to be a lap dog, and none of those things. So we made an appointment with the owner of Sugar to go meet them in Eastern Kentucky and pick Sugar up. So we made that, and she had him all wrapped up in a blanket, and I said, now this is a girl, right? Oh, yeah, just don't take the blanket off because he's not used to being outside. Okay. So she didn't even get out of her car because she was preparing for a speedy getaway. I got Sugar in the car. Okay. Beautiful dog, beautiful puppy. The puppy couldn't even stand up. Okay, what is wrong with this dog? So I took the blanket off. The umbilical cord was still on the puppy. The puppy had just been born, so I couldn't tell whether it was a girl or a boy. You know, because I'm not an expert about puppies and dogs. So we drove home, and we took Sugar into one of our friends who is very familiar with dogs and everything. I said, hey, Dan, is this a girl or a boy? Dan says, you got a boy there. I said, all righty then. Well, that's why she didn't want me to take the blanket off of it. But it had just been born. It was born in a puppy mill. And so we nursed it, and we, you know, fed it, and we took care of him. As he was able to get up and walk and run, he was a true puppy. And his paws were pretty big. He was a medium-sized dog. He wasn't a huge dog. But when Sugar was a puppy, I was just and please don't think bad of me about this. Don't go home talking about me, because I will feel those words, because the enemy will bring them back to me and accuse me. But Sugar was such a puppy, was such a high-maintenance dog that I would dream of putting him in a plastic bag and throwing him in the pond with a cement block attached to the bag. Oh, you have no idea. So I began to pray over Sugar after we had to take him to the vet, and he had worms and ear mites and all the stuff that the lady had told us. He's been wormed. He's had all his shots. And the doctor looked at us and he says, "You need to keep an eye on this puppy, because," he says, "he is so young." He says, "You'll know how old he is when he loses those two teeth in the front." And I said, "Okay." Well, it was like the puppy was only like 3 or 4 weeks when we got it. When he lost his teeth, it was 6 months, and I counted back, and I thought, oh my gosh, that puppy was just born. And here I was dreaming of throwing it in a pond. He couldn't help it. But let me tell you the end of the story. I would never do that to any animal, ever. But Sugar chewed up our shoes. Sugar chewed up my plants. Sugar got into rat poison. Sugar, I had to go to the vet because of the rat poison and get vitamin K pills for him, which was a prescription. And the vitamin K pills was $1 a piece. And I had to do this for 30 days. So every time I gave Sugar a vitamin K pill, I said, "Sugar, I've got to love you." So my son, my first son, Markel, took Sugar and started training Sugar and took him into the bedroom so Mommy wasn't so upset with Sugar and so angry with everything Sugar was doing. Well, the best thing I ever did was get a crate for him and crate training. But before that, my son, Markel, took him into his bedroom. And Sugar would pee on his bed and poop in his room. And he would never tell me, because he knew that it would upset me. And so he would just get up at night and clean it up. Well, I began to think about this. And I said, well, you know what? I have the power in my tongue. And I began to say, "Sugar, you are such a good puppy. Sugar, you don't potty in the house anymore." I said, "Sugar, you're not going to chew up anything else and tear up my carpet and chew up the shoes and eat my plants and find rat poison. Sugar, you are a good dog. You are going to turn out to be the best dog that I have ever had." And you know what? Oh my gosh. And I didn't even realize the power of my words. I didn't even realize it. But Sugar started to change. And you know what? After Sugar got a little bit older, Sugar would have died before he peed in that house. He held it sometimes all day long because we were at work or doing something. We were gone from the house. And he would hold himself. And he stopped chewing up things. And you know what? He became the best dog that I ever had. He was almost perfect, except for his barking. He had, you know, he didn't like to have separation anxiety. He didn't like us to leave, so he got so excited about when we came home. Except for his barking, he was the perfect dog. And because I began to speak over him, is he an animal? Yes. But when in the creation, did God tell Adam to speak over the animals? Did he say that we had dominion over every living thing that creepeth upon the earth? Yes. You know, when I'm driving down the road and it's dark and I say, "God, you gave me dominion over the animals of this earth. And I command every deer that thinks it's going to run out in front of my car, I command it now to stay back in the field." And you know what? We have not ever hit a deer. But, you know, and sugar. Let me finish the story about sugar. When sugar passed away, we have not gotten a dog to replace him because I don't think we could ever find a dog that was as good as Sugar. Because Sugar was the perfect animal. He had my son's personality. So he was very gregarious and happy and running and jumping and hopping. And he was just playful. But it was because I spoke the word of God over him. You've got to learn the word. You've got to know the word. You've got to speak the word. You've got to decree the word. In James 4, it says, you have not because you ask not. And if we do ask, sometimes we ask amiss. We have to ask according to the word, according to his will. In Mark 11:23, it says, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. In Romans 10:9-10, if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God raised Christ from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we shall ask, we know that we have the petitions before him that we desired of him. Psalms 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Job 22:28, thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. So what are the decrees that you should make over yourself? I have the mind of Christ. I am an overcomer. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am more than a conqueror. You know what? We're going to go back to the beginning. And when I say it, I want you to repeat it after me. I have the mind of Christ. I am an overcomer. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am more than a conqueror. I'm above and not beneath. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm blessed in the city and I'm blessed in the field. Come on, we can do better than that. These are decrees. I'm blessed coming in and I'm blessed going out. Everything I set my hand to is blessed. I am an heir of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I shall prosper and be in health because my soul prospers in him. I shall prosper and be in health because my soul prospers in him. My children and my grandchildren shall serve my God. My marriage is blessed. If you want to read about the blessings, just read Deuteronomy 28. And when God called those the children of Israel, his people, he said, choose you this day, blessing or cursing. And the blessings that are found in Deuteronomy 28. I have a video that I want you to watch. And participate in the video.